them. And the other characteristic is that they were facing things that were not easy. And because of that, God put their name in the Bible. Now think about that. That he didn't just say, well, the saints of old did this and that. He named names, because I don't think we totally realize faith is real important to God. I mean, it is, without faith, we can't please him. And I want to talk about you and I being men and women of faith, not of unbelief, not of fear, not of doubt, but of faith. And we're going to take the whole month of June on Wednesday night. But how many believe you might need your faith built up a little bit? Am I the only one here? Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Lord, bless your word tonight in this series, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is a spiritual substance that you cannot get in the natural. You can't go down to the store and buy faith. Faith is made up of three elements: confidence, assurance, and steadfastness. Faith is the confidence, faith is the assurance, and faith is the steadfastness that brings us a desire to hope for things we don't see yet. All these three elements together, confidence, assurance, and steadfastness, produce in us a trust in God that doesn't come just by studying books about God. Faith and trust are brothers and sisters. If my faith is weak, then my trust is weak. God loves it when we trust him. I mean, God will go out of his way to trust him more. But our trust, it's like a building. Faith is the brick by brick that causes the building of trust to be built. It just doesn't happen overnight. I mean, all of us as men and women of God and of faith, we can look back and see, you know what? Way back 20 years ago, I was just believing God to put bread on the table. But now my faith has grown. You see, you've been putting bricks in that building. And God is pleased with that. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We understand that when God spoke, things happened. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Now, what does that mean? Well, the word there, good report, really means to testify. So, by faith, the elders received the reward of their faith so that they could testify, this is what God has done. I remember years ago, we used to have testimony meetings. How many were in a church and have some testimony meetings? And some of them were good, and, well, there was other ones. But anyway, what he's saying here is that the elders obtained their reward and could testify, this is how God came through. Do you and I have any testimonies how God came through? You see, sometimes we read Hebrews 11 and we think, well, those are the heroes of faith. But let me tell you something. I think that that's a wrong categorization of that. We're all heroes of faith. And we might think, well, look what they did in Hebrews 11. But I'm telling you, look what you've done living in this hour. Just think of the things you and I face that others in generations have not faced. Oh, yeah, we have more technology, but we face things that they didn't face. So when God looks at us, he's not going to say, well, I wish you all just had the faith like those in Hebrews 11. No. He's saying you do have faith, and I'm making you a man and woman of faith. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you just a moment. I want to read from the book of Romans, because how does faith come? Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe on him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah did say, Lord, who has believed our report? In verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is he saying in this verse? He's saying not only is faith only built by God's word, it must be a priority in our life. That's why Isaiah said, whose report will you believe? You see, it's not that we don't have other reports, and it's not that we don't listen to other things. But what he's trying to say here is the priority. God's word has the priority in my life. Now let's talk about a man tonight. We're going to talk about Enoch. Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel, we'll talk about Abel in another time, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, being dead, he yet speaketh. We're going to talk about him later in another time. But I'm going to focus on the next verse. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because he had this testimony, because God had translated him, For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want to talk to you about the relationship between faith and pleasing God. I want to talk to you about how to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. It's not just, I just don't please God because I have great confidence in his word. I please God in other ways. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. So the correlation between faith and pleasing God is like a marriage. If I neglect an understanding of pleasing God and just try to get more faith from his word, then it's like a marriage. It's like one of the spouses in the marriage is being neglected. Because there's no way to keep a fresh faith without a fresh desire to please God. I don't know about you. I've lived with myself 63 years, almost 64. It's very easy for me to start pleasing myself. It's a pattern that all of us have to face. But Paul says here in Romans that the priority of my life should be a constant goal to please God. Now that we're going to miss it and we're going to be selfish at times. But if I want my faith to grow, I've got to please God. Amen. He had that testimony. I'm going to talk about five ways that Enoch pleased God, but I want to ask you a question here. When you're pleasing God, don't you experience a greater confidence in him? And another question, when you know that we're not pleasing God, isn't it interesting how it weakens our faith? We don't have the confidence we used to if we do or say something that's not pleasing to him. We don't have that confidence. And that, the first place it manifests is our prayer life. We stop praying. I want to give you five things real quick tonight. I'm not going to keep you, so you can go home and water your garden. How did Enoch please God? First one. First of all, he pleased God because he knew God's will. He knew it was the will of God for him to walk differently than the world. He knew it. He knew that there was a consecration of his life. He knew that there was a separation. Somehow he grasped the reality in the world, but not of the world. Yet he was a shining light. He knew that God's will was more than getting stuff, putting it in a can, and sitting on it. He wanted the will of God. There's no way to please God if I'm kind of apathetic towards his will. I don't know about you, but God, I want to be in your will. Mine own will doesn't profit. So Enoch pleased God because he could look down at Enoch and say, you know, that guy wants my will. That guy really wants my blueprint for his life. That guy really wants my purpose and destiny. Enoch, he's willing to go through even a wilderness like Moses. He's willing to be sold like Joseph in a pit for my will to work in his life. He's willing to be like my son, Jesus Christ, and suffer reproach for the gospel. Yeah, that's my son Enoch down there. And we don't know how long God was like, man, I'm just going to take him. And interestingly about it, he never asked Enoch if he could take him. He just said, you're coming with me. And I'm sure Enoch said, let's go. Now, some say that's a type of the rapture. Well, God's just going to come and take us. He's not going to knock on our door and say, hey, y'all ready? See, it's a preacher's job to get people ready for eternity. It's the pastor's job, the evangelist, the prophet, whoever, to get people ready for that moment, not just to have deep teaching. Deep teaching is fine, but if it doesn't go into a practical understanding of my preparation for Christ, how deep is it? So he knew and he wanted God's will. Second way that he pleased God by faith is he proclaimed the word of God. You know, God's looking for people, you know, not only to do his will, but sharing the word of God. And it might not be in a pulpit type of situation, but my life is sharing the word of God. My life is an example of the word of God. You see, in the book of Jude, it records Enoch's prophecy. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in an ungodly way and all of the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. See, this is Enoch's prophecy. Now, I guarantee you, when Enoch was preaching, he was preaching about sin and ungodliness in the world. I guarantee he was saying the Lord's coming with 10,000 of his saints. And how many know everybody doesn't want to hear that message? So not only did he please God by doing the will of God, he pleased God by proclaiming the word of God. And the third way, he made sure his life was a testimony for God. We had mentioned that. You see, he had this testimony. His life was pleasing God. God, have I offended you today? Holy Spirit, have I grieved you today? Have I spoken fear when I should have spoken faith? Have I spoken doubt when I should have proclaimed your promise? And wherever he went, he was conscious that he was representing God. I want to represent my Savior, not myself. He was always conscious. He had a testimony. If we had a testimony service and Enoch was here, he'd be the first one up with his hands. I've got a testimony. What is it, Enoch? I can't understand it, but every time I pray, I feel God just taking a step towards me. I'm not sure what's happening. Well, tell us more. I don't know. I'm walking down the road and I just feel like some arms are about ready to scoop me up and take me somewhere. Well, Enoch, that's not going to happen. because he was living such a life for God. He had a testimony. Fourth thing, the way Enoch pleased God, he kept his relationship with God a priority. Yeah. You see, relationship with Christ is a progressive walk. It doesn't get deep and mature overnight. We see that with the disciples. After wouldn't you think after three years of walking right next to Jesus that they would just be pretty much sainthood? I mean, really, we're talking about the Son of God here. We're talking about Emmanuel. We're talking about the one that fulfilled 66 prophecies. We're talking about the one, the Lord of all, the one that spoke the world into existence, according to Colossians. And after 3 years, they still, what? They still had some work. Aren't you glad that God put stuff in the Bible to help us? But see, a relationship with God is progressive. And God was, you know what, this guy, even though he's been, people don't believe him because he lived right there, you know, around the wickedness of the earth and all that was happening. The flood was coming, another generation, all that. He was living in a wicked time, but yet God saw this man keep his relationship up with him. Then the fifth thing, Enoch kept looking up to the eternal hope with expectation. He kept looking up. He didn't get so fixed on the world. Listen, you and I got to be careful. We can get so fixed on what's happening. It can drain you, baby. It can drain you in a second. We have got to have a bigger hope. We've got to look up instead of looking down. We've got to understand our life here is passing. Quickly, it's passing. Kept looking up. And God kept looking down at him. He kept looking up. And God kept looking down. Never forget. The Lord sings over you. Zechariah. He will sing over you with rejoicing. God sings over every son and daughter that he has. The Bible says, he will sing over you. He's singing over me. Lord, I don't know what he's singing. Now, that's, if you think about that, and I want to do maybe this Sunday about the wedding, the Jewish wedding, how that was carried out, and what it means with the virgins waiting for him at night. Many believe when the bridegroom came at midnight to get the bride, that was very traditional in the wedding. She'd be waiting for him and he would come. The bridegroom didn't even know the moment he was coming. The bridegroom's father was the one, now son, go. And many believe as the bridegroom was coming to the house to get the bride, he'd be singing. I feel an anointing on that. I'm going to talk about that Sunday. See, many times we kind of wonder, okay, God, I know you love me, but have I pleased you today? And I understand all that, but if we could ever realize that he sings over us. Because most of us don't look at ourselves like, well, why would he want to sing about me? He knows my inconsistencies. He knows this about me. But it has nothing to do with us. He has set his love upon us. So Enoch kept looking to the eternal with hope and expectation. And apparently, his faith and expectation and his hope in God so touched God. Come on. The word translated means not only did God take him from one sphere to another, he changed his body at the same time to fit that new supernatural realm. God did not have to take Enoch. He could have just lived a great life before God. But God leaves things in the Bible for us. He wants to show us the importance of walking by faith and pleasing God. That God was so drawn to one man. There's no other man in the Bible that did it. Elijah went up in a whirlwind, up in a chariot, but that was not because of this situation. It's all completely different. He pleased him. You know what pleasing means? I'm going to close with this. Number one, if I'm going to please someone, I must develop a sensitivity beyond my own perspective. Insensitivity can cause us to be negligent. It can cause us to overlook crucial relationship skills. We should all pray to be more sensitive. And, you know, it's very hard to put, it's very easy to put walls up. Oh, I'm not going to be sensitive. Sensitivity is a highway. So if I hear his voice saying, Bill, stop going to the right. I want you to get back in the center. That's not pleasing me. Okay, I'm going back there. Number one, execution. Or number two, execution. Somehow I've got to execute. I've got to release a practical demonstration of pleasing God. Just sitting around reading the Bible, that's not going to totally please God. I've got to be a servant. I've got to take care of my wife and my family. I've got to be a servant to you in the house of God. I've got to be a servant. Paul said, I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. So I'm a servant to the world, Paul said. So if I'm going to please God, somehow I've got to be able to release that in a practical application. And the third thing is purity. Purity is the way to please. Our motives aren't always pure. Our intents could be tarnished or stained by, I don't know, ambition. But if I'm going to please God, I'm going to have, he must come and do purification. In an understanding that when Jesus comes, he made this statement. When I come, shall I find faith on earth? That he's looking for faith. Doesn't mean you're not going to be tempted to fear. Doesn't mean you're not going to be tempted sometimes to doubt when circumstances get hard. It doesn't mean that you're going to have thousands of people walking with you in faith. Though none go with me, yet I will follow. Though none pick up the cross, yet I will follow. That's a decision many believers have not made. I know I've been doing this long enough. Doesn't mean they're not going to heaven. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a life that has allowed each brick of faith to build the trust of God. That even though the mountains be removed in the midst of the sea, we don't fear. Spirit of fear has come upon our land. Spirit of intimidation, manipulation, spirit of murder, spirit of disease. We know there's only one person that can fix this. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. And if he can have a church, the body of Christ, with confidence and assurance and steadfastness, then you'll see his spirit and his presence sweep in and out of those people and do great signs and great wonders to build the faith of a generation that has lost touch. Enoch pleased God and God came down. Come on. Wow. One day the Father will say to our Lord Jesus, go get my children. Ready or not, here he comes. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, which is 1/1000th of a second, he'll appear. The Bible says, be ready. Have your faith. Have your oil. Speaks of a lot of things. Oil speaks of light, love. Your lamps trimmed. Trimmed from unbelief, doubt, and fear. You can please God, and so can I. Keep putting that brick, every message you hear, every teaching here on TV, folks, as you like to listen to, take that brick and put it in your faith. There's many times I needed something. I would turn someone on, and it was just the brick I needed. Because I know I don't have it all. No one has it. It would be just, and other times it would be good, but it's like, wow, I needed that brick to get to the next brick. And I pray to God that He'll build that building with faith bricks, and there'll be a new trust level. When people come and they're afraid, what's going to happen? You've got a confidence and a trust. Say, we're going to believe God for your household. We're going to believe God for your body. We're going to believe God for God to change our nation. We're going to believe God for this. And they'll see a trust and a confidence in you. They'll be drawn to that which is being drawn to the Christ and hooked to, with God forever. Because God rewards those who diligently seek Him. Amen. I pray you're blessed this week. I pray that you'll keep that prayer time in the morning with Him. I pray a revelation will come that God rejoices over you with singing. Not because we're perfect. He simply loves us. And I pray that your faith will grow. You'll walk in grace. And you'll see the reward of your faith. The answer to your prayer. I ask it in Jesus' name.